last day at the end of Shir, we were talking about two ways to learn the din of ribbis. What it came to was an issue of when I make a deal to pay ribbis, I make an agreement which includes paying ribbis to somebody, is that agreement a binding agreement in Dinei Choshen Mishpat? That was a shadow. If I make an agreement that I'm going to pay ribbis, so I'm not allowed to. Is pshat that agreement is not binding b'chlal, because the Torah said there's no that you can't pay ribbis. So it's a choshen mishpat tekedin that it's not chal. What do we say? No, that mitzad dinei ribbis, mitzad choshen mishpat is chal. I agree to pay you, samuchu you have to pay. There's an isser. The Torah said that if you pay ribbis, you have a certain aveira, and that aveira is an aveira. We called it a yoridei adikidin. This was our suffix yesterday at the end of the year, and I mentioned to you the Ritva's Chiddush and our Sugya. The Ritva says that Medinei Chayshin Mishpat, it's Chal 100%, and if I collect ribbis, I lend money to a lady, she pays me back ribbis, and when I get the ribbis, I turn around, I give it back to her, Vitaris Kedushin. So the Ritva said that Avada would be a good Kedushin, because the Nesina Saribis is Chal. Whatever is Chal to giving it a ribis, that's Chal, and it's given. This was the Ritva's Chiddush that we had yesterday. And I told you yesterday that the Taisus of Bava Kama argues, and the Machne Ephraim disagree. They both hold that the Chayv of Ribis is not Chal at all. Now, the Avni Meluim is Medayik in Rashi, like the Ritva. He makes a deal. Avni Meluim is in Simchav Chesed Katnchav Beis. He makes a deal. I saw the stipler at the end of the simon we were doing yesterday makes the same deal. The Gemara says, Ilema Dama La Arba B'Chamisha. If a man tells a woman, Arba b'chamisha, that I'm giving you four, you have to pay me back five, and he's Mekadisha with the fifth one. So the Gemara said, Haribis ma'al yisahi. He can't be talking four for five. That's ribis ma'al yisah. What's shver if it's ribis ma'al yisah? What's the cash? If I'm giving you four, and you have to give me back five, so I'm Mekadisha with the fifth one. It's like the Gemara, Haribis ma'al yisahi. That's real ribis, and therefore what's shver? What shver is ribis? What? So Rashi says what shver is. The Gemara said it's haramas ribis. And four for five, it's shver kat the lashon. There's a problem with the lashon. You can't say we're talking four for five because the Gemara called it haramas ribis, and that would be ribis malis. But so vice dice, it's only a problem in the lashon. But the din is fine. That if I give you four and you have to give me back five, and I'm a kaddish with the fifth one. That takachal the kedushin. That wasn't the kasha. Wasn't shver. It shouldn't be chal. The gemara was okay. It's takachal. If I go over to a lady and I tell her I'm lending you four, you pay me back five, and then I'm a kaddish with the fifth one. So the gemara says nachinami on the tzad being a kedushin will be good. Only shverakite is that it's ribis mal. That why you're calling it haramas ribis, you should call it ribis malius. It's only a problem in the lush, but in the din it's good that if I'm a kaddish with the fifth zuz, it's chal. So Avni Meluim, it's a raya that the chayv is chal on the fifth zuz. That I'm taka owed the fifth zuz because I made a contract with the woman. She taka owed it. And if I'm the kaddish over there, it should be a good kedushin. The problem is that it's a bad lush. It's not haramas ribis, and we called it haramas. It's only a lushin problem. But if I say it's in din, it would be chal. Her ribis ma'isi, and it's taka chal that she taka owes me the fifth zuz, and I'm a kaddish with it as a good kedushin. So it's a raya that Rashi also holds that a chayv of ribis is really chal. Shaila, a man, forgetting about kedushin, a regular case of ribis. Somebody lends someone money, and he gives him back $100 plus, let's say, a silver becher. He comes back and gives him back the $100 plus he gives him a silver becher for ribis. Now they realize it's ribis, so they're told, you know, you have to return the silver becher. So the man who received the becher says, you know what? I like this becher. I'm not going to give you the becher back. I'll give you its worth. It's a $500 silver becher. I'll give you back $500. I don't want to give you the becher back. And the other fellow says, no, I want the becher back. I gave you the becher for ribis. I want it back. Does he have to give back the guf hachefetz, or he doesn't have to give back the guf hachefetz? So the Chavis Das writes, Davnim Luim holds this way also, that you don't have to give back the chefetz. You owe him money. The fact that he gave you the chefetz, so that's, it's chal, like we're calling Rashi and Ritva Shita. The giving of the chayfetz, it's chal. It's a good giving of the chayfetz. I owe him now $500. He gave me back an extra $500 for the ribbis. I owe him $500. I have to give it back. I want to give him back cash. I can give it back cash. If it would be gzeila, I would have to give back the becher itself. That's not gzeila. What he gave me is mine. I owe him a certain value. So that value, I would have to return the value, that's all. I have to give him so that he could live. I have to give him back his $500. But I don't have to give back the guf habecher, the becher itself. No, because they hold, Davni Meluim and the Chavis Das hold, that look, we made up, you're going to give me ribbis. You're going to give me $500 worth of ribbis. Now you gave me the chayfitz as the for the 500. Even if I made up, it'll be dafka's chayfitz. You gave it to me. There's no problem. I can have the chayfitz. The problem is I got more than I lent. So the chayachichayimachas, I have to give you back. So who says I have to give you back the chayfitz? I'll give you back. So the chayachichayimachas, you could live. I'll give you back $500. You should be able to live. It's not a problem with the gufa chayfitz because it's not gazela. It's dina yisr. Dina yisr, I have a mitzvah to give you money back, so I can give you back the shayfitz. Because if it would be gazela, then you agree if it would be gazela, you have to give the chayfetz back.
If you don't have the chayfetz, then
so,
the money would be.
Oh, it's true. Once I don't have the chayfetz by gazela, I have to give the money. But if somebody steals a chayfetz, kolzman the chayfetz is kayim, he has to give back the chayfetz. If the chayfetz is used up, then nachinami, everyone agrees he has to pay money. Shaila here is kolzman the chayfetz is kayim, does he have to give back the guf hachayfetz or not? If you hold that it's a gzela type of din, then you have to give back the chayfetz itself. If you hold that it's Ritva and Rashi are saying here in our sugya, so you don't have to give back the guf hachayfetz because that's chal. The above the nesim is chal. It's a mitzvah of paying back. He has to live. Living is off the value, so he has to, that's why he gets the value back. It's not certain guf hachayfetz. If he agrees to take the money, there's no shame. The question is, do you want the object back? If they agree, of course.
What's the shame of taking that back? Besides in the case in the silver, what kind of have to claim? It's not in the silver. You don't know the guy gave it to the claim.
Well, by pidyon haben, no, so if I would steal something from you, and assuming there are no kid, there are no kinyan exalia, you're not miyayish, I steal something from you and I give it to someone else, you can go to that person and get it back because it's still yours. It would be gzeila if I give it to someone else, say in a ben, or I give it to him as anything, it's still your object. If I take your object and give it to someone, it's still yours. Right, as long as there was no kinyan in there.
Because it's in the
if you got the matpeya for ribbis, if you would hold it similar to gzeila, like the Machne Ephraim holds, then that matbeya still belongs to you until like all gzeila, until the yesh and shinui and whatever type of shinui is kind of. No, we're saying it is good. The Ritva holds it is good. This is all going with the Ritva Shita, that it is good. If he gives the ribbis money to the man, she gives the ribbis money to the man picks it up, it's his. Now he gives it back to Kedushin, it is good. The Ritva held. We said the Machlechaim holds it's not good, and the Taisa Shita. We're going now with the Ritva, which they prove, they show Rashi holds like the Ritva, and they're saying that it's Chal. That's true. There are those who argue. The Avni Maluim brings a Mishnah Lamelech who argues. The Machna Ephraim argues even more clearly, and they hold you have to give back the Guf HaChefetz. That if the Chefetz was given as Ribbis, you have to give back the Guf HaChefetz. Machna Ephraim certainly holds as Gezela, and you have to give back the Guf HaChefetz as Gezela. Now, this is a Yisayit which stems from our Gemara, clearly from the Ritva. As I told you yesterday, it's arrived from the Gemara, and today I'm telling you it's arrived from Rashi. I'd like to try to explain to you. This is a piece of Machna Ephraim Hilchas Ribbis Ois Dalin. It's a one paragraph piece, but I'd like to explain. I hope it'll be clear. It's a little complicated. Those of you who are taking accounting will understand, unless I once made the mistake. And when I give shir on Shabbos, there are some accountants in the audience. So whenever I had addition things, I asked the accountants. I realized later the accountants are the only ones that don't know how to add, because they always use calculators. Like everybody else knows how to add in their mind. It's only, I don't mean to insult any of the accountants here, but I noticed that it's really that. Anyway, I'd like to explain something to you, which is very Negei Ledina, and which is based on, the Machna Ephraim holds, is based on this sugya. Before I explain that, let me just be magnum. If a yid lends a yid money, he's not charged with this. Even if, let's say, you ask me for a loan, I don't have money. I tell you, you know what, I'll borrow it from the bank. I'll take a loan from the bank. And the bank will lend me money, and then I'll lend it to you. Now I say, okay, now I'm willing to do it, but you have to pay whatever interest I owe the bank, you have to pay for me. That's also awesome. Because I borrow money from the bank, I'm allowed to pay the bank ribbis. I owe the bank ribbis. But when I lend it to you, I'm not allowed to charge you ribbis. Even if you pay it directly to the bank, that's still ribbis, because you're paying me, you're paying my bills. If you pay my bills, that's ribbis. I can't lend you money unless you pay my Con Ed bill. So I can't lend you money unless you pay my mortgage either. Even though I only took the loan to lend it to you. And half up he came. It's still ribbis, because the bank didn't lend the money to you. The bank lent it to me. The bank lent it to me, and now I'm lending it to you. So I'm not allowed to charge ribbis for that. And that's a halacha psuka. There's no less man de palik. You can't pass on interest costs to that you borrow from a guy, even if you borrowed it before, because you want to lend it to me. Now, this is a michshel many times. Very often a young couple wants to buy a house, but they don't have a credit rating, so the parents take out the mortgage for them on the parents' name. So what's happening is the bank is not willing to lend money to the young couple. They're willing to lend money to the parents. Now the parents are lending it to the kids. So when the children pay the mortgage, for them to pay the interest, that's an issur ribbis. Because they can't, whatever their parents lent them money, that's from a yid to a yid, they can't pay interest for that. And it's a common mistake. People somehow think that it's mutter, and it's usur. If the parents borrow money from the bank and they lend it to the kids, so they borrow from the bank with interest. If they lend to the kids, they have to lend without interest, unless they make a head to risk, and there are other ways of doing it. But this time, it's 100%, there's no shy, it's usur. Another example of this is sometimes. People lend credit cards to a friend. If you lend a friend a credit card, so again, the bank is not lending him, the bank is lending you. And you're lending him. So for him to pay the interest on the credit card, that's awesome. If the bank, whoever's the borrower to the bank, if I have a credit card, so the bank is lending me the money. If I give you rishus to use it, so that means the bank is lending me and I'm lending you. So again, you're not allowed to pay the interest on this thing.
You have the option to pay right away.
Yeah, if he pays right away, there's no issur. But if he doesn't pay right away, look, he can if whatever he wants, he could do. I'm borrowing from the bank, right? I borrow from a guy, and I'm lending it to a yid. If the yid pays me late, I still can't charge him interest, even though I made up that he'll pay me right away. If he does, I can't charge him interest for paying late. If he pays my bill, I can't lend you money. You go
so
pay my bill.
Pay right away. Now he did. That's his own.
If he didn't, so what happened is the bank owes me. I owe money. Okay, there's no. This is what.
Thank you, money, Reuben. Imagine Reuben and Shimon. Yeah, Reuben's going to Shimon. Shimon goes.
The bank lent it to who? So who did the bank lend it to?
The credit card belongs to Reuben.
Right. So who did the bank lend it to?
The mice of Shimon is taking out the money.
But the bank doesn't want to lend money to Shimon. They have no agreement with Shimon.
They want or not.
So, but they didn't.
They're giving money to Shimon.
They're giving. The Reuven is directing the bank to give it to Shimon. That means they're lending it to Reuven. Reuven is telling them where to put the money. Just like if you use your credit card to pay your electric bill, the bank is not lending money to the electric company. They're lending it to you. You're just directing them to give the money there. Same thing if you lend it to a person. It's the same thing.
She walks
in
and says, money was
ruined. She's got it. She's in jail. Right? If Reuven gives her a share, she's in her share.
The bank thinks it was improving. She's going to take them off. Something like that.
Well, if Shimon's lying, Reuven didn't give him permission, so he's a crook. If Reuven gave him permission, that means Reuven said, just like I pay my electric bill with my credit card, or I pay my tax bill with my credit card, or I pay my insurance bill, the bank's not lending it to the insurance company, they're lending it to me, and I'm directing them to pay. And now that part is a davar pashut. That's not the issue. Has nothing to do with asugya. Where it comes up is in the following situation. First, I'll talk about a simple case, and then we'll talk. Let's say I make an agreement with you that you're going to pay me rivers. And it's a mortgage. Let's say it's a 30-year mortgage. And every month you have to pay $1,000. $200 is principal and $800 is interest. Right, so you're paying the mortgage every month. I lend you, let's forget about a bank. I go and I take $100,000 of my own money and I give it to you and I say, okay, every month you have to pay me back $1,000 a month. Let's say $200 principal, $800 interest. Keep it simple. Let's say the numbers are the same. A year goes by. 2 years go by. Now we realize that, you know, what we did is ourselves with this. So now we go to the Rav and we say, you know, we have a problem. We had an interest. Interest was paid. And what do we do now? So the question is the following. What happened? He paid every month $1,000. $200 as principal and $800 as interest. Right? So he paid $1,000 a month. $200 principal. He paid 24 months. So how much did he pay so far? $24,000. How do we look at this? Is Pshat, he already paid 24. He borrowed 100. So he wasn't over any Issa Ribbis yet. Because he borrowed 100 and he paid 24. Now he owes $76,000. That's one way to look at it. What should we say? No. Every month he paid $200 principal and $800 interest. So he paid so far 200 times 24, $4,800 principal. The rest that he paid was all interest. And he was over on the Seribis. He paid 24 months worth $800. That was interest. He was over on Ribis. Now, whatever the halachas of returning ribbis are, but how much from the principal, how much does he owe? He owes $100,000 minus $4,800. Now he owes $95,200. You follow what's happening here? There are two ways to look at what took place. There are many nafkaminis in the way to deal with it. Right? Let's say it's a frayahid. Now you're stuck. You want to find an eitzah. So what did you do? Did you pay interest? Didn't you pay interest? Is there a balance of 95 that you can write a head disk on, or is there a balance of 75 that you can pay? So Dr. Machna Ephraim, depends the way to look at these 2 years worth of payments. How do we look at it? Are there 2 years worth of payments ribbis payments, because they're calling it interest, or are they really principal payments? It depends on the ritva and our sugya. If you learn like the ritva, then when I make a contract to pay ribbis, al dinei cheshed mishpat, the contract is chal. The obligation is chal. So therefore, according to the Ritva, what did I do? I paid for 24 months. I paid ribis, $800 a month. And that goes with the dinim of chazaras ribis, whatever those dinim are. But principal, I paid only $200 a month. I paid 24 months, $4,800. And there's a balance on the principal of $95,000, $95,200. However, the Machna Ephraim himself, he disagrees. He says, no, it's not true. So the Machna Ephraim holds that a chayv of ribis is never chal in the first place. This chayvus is never chal in the first place. If this chayvus was never chal, then the money that was paid all along was not really a ribis obligation. There's really no obligation to pay ribis. It's geneva. If he paid him $800 interest a month, that means the other person stole $800 from him every month. It was geneva. He didn't know it was geneva. It was geneva b'shegeg, but it was geneva. See, right? Every month when I paid it 800 interest, that was geneva. That means that I have a right now to say, what happens if I owe someone $1,000 and he steals $1,000 from me? So now I owe him nothing. So here too, every month he stole $800 from me. I borrowed $100,000. For the last 24 months, every month I paid him $200, and he stole $800, which I have a right to deduct from the from what I owe him. Mimela, it should come out that I only owe him the smaller amount. Everything I paid him, I should be able to deduct from the principal, and I'll only owe him the smaller amount that remains. I only owe him the $76,000. This issue of how to calculate the ribis payments is totally in this sugya, at least according to Machna Ephraim. He says it's totally the two ways to learn, and it come out a very big nafkamina, because this happens very often that people who have, let's say the father took out a mortgage for the house, they wake up that it's a problem somewhere down the line, 2 or 3 years down the line, they wake up that it's a problem, and then they come to a rav to try to redress things. So I'm not going to get into all Hilchos Ribis now, but it depends on whether you have any Surei Ribis or not. And how do you redress it? How much money is still owed? That depends on these two malachim. If you learn like the Ritva and Rashi, then it's whatever was paid till now, it's Ribis, was Tashlumin, it was Ribis, and it was paid for Ribis, and there's Taka Chayv of Ribis, and it's Chal. He was over his Ribis till now. And if you hold like the Machna Ephraim, then no ribis was paid until you hit the $100,000 original loan. No ribis was paid. Once you paid $100,000, now you keep on paying $1,000 a month. After 100 months, avada, everything's paid. The 101st month is ribis, but until you hit the 100 months, it's not going to be ribis.
If you hold it's ribis, you have to pay back the ribis afterwards.
If you have to repay the ribis, yeah. Obviously, if you have to pay the ribis, there's no nafkamina in what I'm saying. It's true. There are certain cases, most cases that you have to pay back. There are cases where you don't have to pay back. But it would be a nafkamina in the case where the lender is not a firm person. And you're trying to fix it up now. If what you paid him was ribis already and it's done, it's gone, so there's nothing left to do. If you didn't pay him ribis yet, then there are ways of fixing it.
It's not in the case of parent buying a house, the mortgage, I'm saying there would be a nafkamina right. Between
it would come in. If you're on big nafkamina, it's just a little complicated. Let's say the 100 months passed already. It's already 100 months are gone. So he already paid $100,000. So according to the Machna Ephraim, there's no principal left. There's nothing he could do now. It's bad news. I mean, the parents are going to be out the money. There's nothing left to do. They lent him $100,000. They paid back $100,000. So it's finished. The whole thing is done. Nothing to do. If you learn not like the Machna Ephraim, if you learn like the Ritva, so after 100 months, in my example, so they paid a lot of interest. They were over on ribis, but the principal, how much did they pay in principal? 100 months, that's $200 a month. Right, so they paid $20,000. So there's $80,000 left. Since 80,000 left, the Rav could do is write up a Het Iska. And the write up a Het Iska at a higher rate, let's say the bank rate is 6% or 7%, you make a Het Iska on the 80,000 for 12%. The parents at the end would end up coming up with the same amount of money anyway. It would be a mutadik way to do it. But if there's no principal left, you're in trouble. I had this with someone who was using his brother's credit card for years and years and years. And there was a tremendous nachgemina. He was paying every month. He was paying basically just the interest. And principal was staying the same. So if it's a tremendous nachgemina. Now he comes to me. It's after, I don't know, they hung up signs a few years ago. Signed by, like, all the paiskin, that the people on credit cards as rivers. So he saw one of the signs. He comes to me and he says, you know, I have this problem. So he had paid so much interest over the years, it was much more than the principal. So if you learn like the Machne Ephraim, there was nothing left to do. His brother was out the money. What could you do? He paid up all the principal. And there was still a lot of money on the card, but that was all his brother's chayv. You know, unless he had to go to his brother and tell him the good news that, you know, the whole chayv, it's your chayv, it's not mine, and I'm not even allowed to pay. If you like the Machne Ephraim. If you like the Ritva, it's not there. It's bad because he paid ribbis all the years. So it's a problem that he paid ribbis. But you can do something because there's still principal. And if the principal is at a certain rate, you can make a Het Iska. Usually what you would do is adjust the Het Iska to a higher rate. And that way you would, in effect, end up paying the whole thing.
So you're
what?
You're letting
him a can't give him a tana to the Malva, though. A Leiva can't say, listen, there was ribbis, I don't want to pay ribbis, instead I'll give you a matana. No, that's ribbis. Give him a matana, is also ribbis.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give him a matana again. I mean, if you want to give him a matana when you know, when he gets married, you want to give him a gift, you could give him, but if it's obvious that it's for the loan, it's still us. So it's still a problem.
But how do you meet a higher rate, a higher interest rate?
This is already complicated, I'm not going to go through a whole... you can't always. It depends on the circumstances. It depends on the circumstance, depends how a Het Iska is drawn. There are many types of Het Iska. But I just mean to get as far as what we get from our Sugya, that this Nafkamina is a tremendous Nafkamina between the two Mahalchim. Lemaisa, Rav Meisha holds, Rav Meisha writes, the Lemaisa of it, Rav Meisha writes like the Machne Ephraim. That once you paid up all the principal, it's too late, you can't do anything. He has a slightly different lomdis than the Machne Ephraim, but that's the halacha lemaisa that I deal with, I think most guys can today deal with. Rav Moshe's hachra, which is that if it's too late, it's too late, you're going to have a big problem. If you realize early enough, and there's still enough principal there to do something with, so you could do something with it. But if you already paid your interest over the years so much that you paid all the principal, then it's good because you didn't pay interest all the years. And it's bad because if there's nothing left, then somebody's going to be stuck with a big bill that he didn't expect to have. So it comes out that this tefkamina, it's like a nice tefkamina. It's very nice to talk about lamdis, but you know, halach lamaisa, it's a tremendous nafkamina. People. It happens very often. People call, they realize they've been doing something that it's usually either a mortgage or credit card. They realize they've been doing it the wrong way. What can they do? So I tell them, you have to come with the numbers. You have to show me the numbers and we'll see what we can do. You know, if it's a short period of time, so they're happy to pass back the Machne Ephraim. Because it means they weren't over in a service. They didn't do any affair yet and they can fix up what's in the future. If it's after a long period of time, it becomes very awkward. Because that means there's nothing they could do, and whatever chayv remains is the chayv of the person who did them a favor and then took out a mortgage for them or lent them a credit card. Now they have to go back and tell that person that they're stuck with the interest payments. There's nothing much that can be done. So this is the way the nafkamina of the Ritva and Asugya, the way it plays itself out. All right, so it's a short sugya with a number of big chidushim. Right, next sugya, Amar Rava. We have here. So these are the major sugyas of this parak. The Shinus of Kedushin, which we had before, and the Amar Aleph. Mekadish Benilva, which is here, and now Amnatanam Nasla Hazar, and then the next Amid Arib and Abakanani, these are the. Okay, Amar Rava, let's start. Heilach Mona Amanashat Hazireli. Before I forget, Matanam Nasla Hazir is a famous Ketzaisa Shita. It's in the Ketzaisa Mireish Mem Aleph. I believe it's of Cotton Dalid. Take a look. And the Mitzvah, I'm not going to get into it today, but you'll see tomorrow. The Ketzaisa argues that all the Rishayim come out, all the Rishayim, and he has a different Shita in the way Matanam Nasla Hazir works. And we'll get to that tomorrow in Mitzvah. Let's just start the Sugya Pshat today. Amarav, Heilach Mana Amadashat Hazireoli. Okay, what's the Shaila here? I give you something, Amanos, you give it back. The Mechalaikana, the Ishaidam Kadeshas, the Yerabene, the Nefadi. It's nothing. Except by Truma. The Truma Yotzi Dei Nasina, but it's also as it came in the Rabbanon, it's also to do. Meshanirik, a kind of a Seyayim, Beis Agranis. Kain was supposed to do a favor in exchange for his Truma. So the Gemara asks, that doesn't make sense. My kasam. Ikasav matanas lahazi shma matana afilakulu nami. Sav alay shma matana afilachum nami. What does the Gemara say? There are two ways to learn. You can learn matana matanas lahazi is a matana, or you can hold matana matanas lahazi is not a matana. Alright, Svara, what's the Talmud? What's the Shaila here? Let's say I go over to you and I give you a cheese Danish. And I say, here's a cheese Danish, but you have to give it back to me in an hour. So someone can explain to me the tzad that it's a matana. Huh? So explain to me. Huh? What?
Walk over to someone and say, look what I have.
Could walk over to someone and say, look what I have. Cheese Danish. You have the habit of showing off such fancy items that you have. Anybody understand that that's a matana?
No.
Cinnamon Danish, you can smell. Huh? Oh, jewelry. Okay, let's say I go over to you and I say, here's a piece of jewelry. I'm in thus, you give it back to me. Let's say, first I have to go to Chasna. He wants to wear jewelry. She wants to wear jewelry. So he goes over there, he says, okay, it's a matana stahazer, and you give it back tomorrow. So in that case, does anybody hold it's not a matana? No? It's for sure matana, no? So isn't that a matana? What? So it is a matana then. Now, no, I'm going to have from it is a matana. What? It's a loan. It's a loan.
It's a loan.
Why is it different than a loan?
The loan, she's saying, I'm lending
it,
it's not yours.
Here, it's yours.
It's yours.
What's not yours? It's yours. If you get on the airplane and they ask you for everything in the suitcase yours, you could say it's all mine. Right?
Most
by asking. Yes. Oh, by asking, it's okay. But I'm just saying, if you look at it, I'm talking now mitzad the mominish abay, b'mech. I would think, if you asked me, if there's no sugya, is it matana or matana? I would say, let's see. If it's something that's worth a pruta to have, for how long is he giving it to me for? He's giving it to me for a day. It's worth a pruta to have it for a day, so it's a matana. If he gives me something, I have to give it back in 1 minute, so I have no use for it. If he gives me a piece of food, they give me an apple, I'm a matanas lahazir. What in the world am I supposed to do with an apple? I'm a matanas lahazir. So that would seem it's not worth a pruta. Like, what's the shakal v'kari? It is a matana, it's not a matana. What?
Can't give a matana the plus than a pruta.
You could give a matana plus than a pruta, but it doesn't seem that I'm getting a matana. Doesn't sound, all right, no. You're right. If it's worth half a pruta, it would be the same thing. What I mean is, if it's worth nothing, somebody gives me a piece of cake to hold for an hour, so I'm doing him a favor. He's not doing me a favor. It's not even half a pruta. What am I getting for it? What am I going to do with it? It's just a tircha that I have to watch it. So I think before we start the sugi, we all have to agree that if you give someone a matana and he has to give it back, and the period of time that he has it, it's worth nothing. I think we have to agree that there's no hava meaning you can be kaddish and isha with that. No? The hava meaning you can be kaddish and isha with something that she has no value to her to have? Could there be such a hava meaning? Zero?
The worth, whatever they can opinion.
What's it worth?
Inherently, it has value in its earth. Since she doesn't appreciate most, the earth has no value.
Yeah, but there has to be a potential. No woman ever has to have hana from the thing you mekayi. If you mekayi with an apple, she's not mechuyev to eat it either. But inherently, it has value. There's a possibility to have hana.
So, it has value. Money has value. There's no possibility.
Something there's no possibility of having benefits from has no value.
Even if it has market value, just you
can't. Well, something has a market value that you can't sell has no market value. Does it have a market value? If I dropped a diamond in the bottom of the ocean, now I'll do a kinyan chalipin with you, and you'll be kind of the diamond. So that has a value? I don't think so. What value does it have? What value? Zero value, because it's not accessible. It has no value.
It's
what? Before he can return it. Well, logically, what should be? If I give someone a matana, I'm a nasla hazer, and he dies. If it's not given back, if it's not given back, it's on his bottle. So, what does it mean? If I give you something only, I'm unless you give it back to me. If you don't end up giving it back to me, then it wasn't a matana meikara, pashtus. Pashtus, it wasn't a matana in the first place. Which means that it was mine, it was never yours, it was mine from the beginning. So they make a condition, and you don't keep fulfill the condition, any condition. So then originally it wasn't a matan. So that part of it is a little easier to understand, if I don't fulfill the condition. The question is, if I do fulfill the condition, what are the two tzadim that matana amanos lahas a shmei matan or shmei matan? I would think, Ashkafer Rishayna, that if something has a value, if having it for this period of time, this item has a value, I would think that you could say Shmei Matan. If it has no value, I would think it's like Shmei Matan.
You say it's Kesef Kinyan, but does it have no value as long as you're giving something?
Because Kesef means it has a value. The Kesef implies value.
Not that she has to use the value, she just has to receive something that is of value.
She has to receive something that has a value, which means that what? That if I give somebody, so I give you an apple. So is it sad? So what are you saying? Is it sad that if I give you an apple, and you, it's not the type of thing you would show off anywhere. So I give you an apple, and is it sad that I could be kaddish isha with this apple? Even though,
she's not going to have any
can't have any anah from it. Does someone understand that? In Lumdis, I understand. In Lumdis, I gave her the apple. But I gave her the apple under such circumstances that she can't have any benefit from the apple. So does it sound that that's a matana? Huh? If I understand the tzaddah, that should be a good matana. Unless we'll say the Gemara is only talking about such things, that there is a value. That there is a value. He gives a what? He gives a jewelry.
Yeah. If she knows that, she's going to help you back.
But she's masking. She doesn't have to mask him. She wants you because they don't want to take it for Kiddushin. She's masking to take it.
How do you transfer from that I'm getting to her?
I go over to her.
Someone lends
it to you. No, you give me to the woman.
But
you
go over to someone.
No, you didn't borrow from someone. You take your own thing. You go over to a woman and you say, I want to give a kaddish with this ring, but you have to give it back tomorrow. Right? And the kaddish to Isha with a gift that she has to return to you. She has to return it to you. So, yes. Rashi means kugoyin. You want to be kind of karka with this matana. The reason Rashi picked kugoyin karka is because metalflim are not nikna b'chalipin b'kesef. There's no kinyan kesef on metalflim. So Rashi said kugoyin karka because otherwise there's no kinyan anyway.
So what you're explaining,
the difference is that you own it in the interim.
So this is that
Wait, let me see. Right, so on the tzad that holding onto it does have a value, I would have a shurikat the other way. Let's say I'm a kaddish and isha with a piece of jewelry that she can hold for 24 hours. It has a value. I'm a Thomas Lahaus, so she has to give back to her. It has a value. She's going to a simcha tonight. She's going to a simcha tonight, and she can wear it. So I would think that Shmei Matana. I'm telling her exactly what I'm giving her. I'm giving her this piece of jewelry for 24 hours. I'm clear. I'm not fooling her. She thinks she's getting a $100,000 piece of jewelry, and it's really only, how much is it worth to have for one night? Let's say it's worth $5,000 to have a $100,000 piece of jewelry for one night. So I'm telling her clearly, I'm not making believe I'm a kaddish with the jewelry. I'm not fooling her. I'm telling her I'm a kaddish with this jewelry that you can own for till tomorrow, same time tomorrow, you have to give it back. So if it has a value, so what's the tzad that loish may matan? What's the other tzad? I mean, it seems matan as lahazir. If you ask me, I don't see two tzadim. It depends on the case. Depends what you're giving somebody. No. So what's wrong if she accepts? Let it be a good condition. But the Gemara has a tzad that loish may matan. The Gemara says ikasav ashmei matan afalukulanami. Ikasav loish matan afalukulanami. That means the Gemara has two tzadim. It could be a matana slahas a shmei matana, and it could be a matana slahas a shmei matana. There have to be two sides for the issue. So I don't know which case. Either you have a case where you're giving an apple, you're giving something that has no value for this amount of time. If so, I don't understand the tzad of shmei matana. Or else it's talking that you're giving jewelry. If you're giving jewelry, so I don't understand the tzad of shmei matana.
Why is it telling the value? You're telling him the time, giving it all completely.
So which case? The apple case or jewelry case?
Either one.
Well, you're trying to explain why it's Shmei Matana.
If you say Shmei Matana, then...
So Shmei Matana, I have a problem with the apple case. So in the apple case, you're saying Shmei Matana because...
Whatever you gave over for that time, fine, is it or not?
Because in Lumdish, I gave it over. So that makes sense to you, that Lumdish, it's our apple. In Lumdish, it's our apple. Therefore, it should be a kedushin. Is there such a tzad that she can be a kaddish, a woman? The apple's worth more than a pruta. She's going to have it for a period of time where it's not worth anything to have it. So it's sad that that's a good kedushin. Well, she wants to be married. She really doesn't care. But the Torah requires that she get some, that she receives something. But there has to be a pruta there. You see, you're saying in Lumdish there's a pruta. How do you establish the value of something? I mean, but if a woman says with the shovely on something, it's worth less than a pruta. She says to me, it's worth more. That's not good enough. Well, the value of an apple a day is not a pruta. The value of an apple that you could... I don't know. The value of an apple that's yours forever for a day, it's a funny thing. It's a matana lailam. But now I want to know if I have a kind of shanisha with it. So. So there's such a tzad, you understand? Such a tzad. I go to a woman, I tell her, I'm giving you this apple lailam voyad on the condition you give it back to me tomorrow. She says, tzad, it's a good kedushin. Because the woman got something. Did she get something that has value?
The only reason
she
has value.
By inevitably, inevitably forever. And there's the yitzir that comes later. Here, you see, I agree that it could be a matana forever, and tomorrow it's ice matana. I just don't see that there's any value in the matana.
You don't have value.
But he has to give her a pruta, doesn't he? You still have to say the words, he's giving her the pruta, just she has to give it back. It's funny, what we have here is a case that he's giving us something which in theory has value but in practice has no value.
She doesn't care if she wants to pay.
But she has to get something. What did she get? She got an unusable apple. She got an apple that's unusable.
She can eat the apple.
She can't eat the apple, man. If she eats the apple, she'll be a goddess. But Lamaisa, she's a frum woman. She knows she can't eat the apple. She's going to eat the apple. She'll be a goddess. Well, tomorrow we'll find out that she was Iver.
That's preventing her from eating right now, but right now she has an apple that she can eat.
Lamaisa, she can't eat the apple. In theory, she can eat the apple. Lamaisa, she can't. No? If it would be a piece of jewelry, you give it for 5 minutes. So it's a beautiful silver thing, and you give it to her 5 minutes in the middle of the 2 o'clock in the morning. So what could she do with it? She'll wear it for the day. She'll wear it. She has no value. Jewelry's not worth anything if no one sees it. You realize there's no inherent value in jewelry.
If you look at a bank statement, she is that much richer.
Yes. Do you think that it makes sense that it should be good? So you give an umbrella for a day on a sunny day. So she has the umbrella. Maybe that's correct. Maybe that's the way to learn the sugya. So that's the way you want to learn the sugya. We're talking here. So you're agreeing with me. If you give us some, you're agreeing with me halfway. You're saying half that I said that if you give a jewelry for 24 hours and it's worth money overnight, it's a for good. That's your master. The suffix is the tzad that it's no good is, I mean, give it that it's a for good. The machlokes is a shame that I'm a life man that time. So if you're going to say Amakashi with the Hanoa that you could use it one night, there'd be no suffix. But if Amakadisha with the Hanoa that she gets the thing, Amanah, she gives it back tomorrow, it's just a different way of saying the same thing, isn't it?
And same thing with the Amakadisha with the Hanoa that you're getting there, I mean, it's not
being Amakadisha. No, because there you're trying to be Amakadisha with the Milva, and you are really giving her a Milva. You're really being Michael $100. Just as a thing that you can't be mechadish with that. But at least you're really giving it. Here to say, I'm mechadish with this ring that you have forever and you really have to give it back tomorrow. Right, so this is one piece of homework that we have to get klar before. I mean, tomorrow you'll sit down again to make a laning. It'll have to be klar. You have three choices. Either you can learn the whole sugya. And I say sugya, I mean that you have tutzdadim. The tutzdadim are on the apple case. And then the jewelry case, sicher for sure is a good kedushin. Or the tutzadim are in the jewelry case, and the apple case is sicher not a good kedushin. Or the tutzadim are both cases. So we have to get klar. We pass skin that matanam nas lahazah shmei matan of Amayisha. So we're going to have to see if matanam nas lahazah shmei matana in a case where I give somebody something from which he'll positively have absolutely no benefit. I give him. I give him sunglasses in the middle of the night for an hour. So what does he have from it? Nothing. If you're a tzad, they would say, Lom dis, he owns the sunglasses.
Why does that mean Matana not Mahatma?
That's for sure. If I'm a karasam, it's something that nobody could ever have any benefit from. Yeah, of course, that's the chenar kedusha, that's a shayla. That's worth zero, something you can never have benefit from, it has no market value. If you're going to be a kaddish anisha with something that for sure has no market value, so. You know, what's Shiloh? I'm going to go get
she's locked in a room in the cottage.
She chooses to be locked in the room. I don't know. She's locked in the room against her will, you mean? All right, these are all the same Shiloh. Okay. So that's one thing we have to marry. There's a second bearer. Let's say Matana Amanos Lahaz is a good Matana. So we have a shayla by kedushin. That's what the Gemara goes into. Gemara says, "Really, matana is not a shmei matana." That's the Gemara says. Oh, Rava who damar that shmei matana. It's a shmei matana. So you go over to a woman, a mekadeshar with a ring, a menas. She gives it back to me tomorrow. So really, matana is not a shmei matana. Gemara says, "Kulu kani l'var meisha." Why not? So we'll, again, we'll learn this mitzvah Hashem tomorrow or Sunday. The machlokes here, Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos holds it's the din d'rabbanan, it's gzeira d'rabbanan. Matanos has a gzeira atu chalipin. And the Rambam, which we spoke out in the previous sugya, holds it's not a good kedushin because she's not nehena. She has to give it back. She's not called a nehena. It's not a hanom mizumenes. It's not a real hanom. So I have a kasha for you. We'll talk like, let's say, like the Rambam. You give me a matana aminos lahazim. Okay, we're in business, and you want to do a kinyan, so you're a smart aleck. Yeah, I tell you, you have to get to a kinyan. Say, okay, fine, I'll give you, we'll make a kinyan with this money or with this whatever it is. I'm a nurse, I give it back to you tomorrow. So you come over to me, you say, okay, I'll do the kinyan with this piece of silver. I'm a nurse, you give it back tomorrow. So I say, is that good? You say, yes. We pass the matanos lahazim shmeyar. Look in the Gemara. Tomorrow, I have a very good eitzah if I'm smart. I should go back to you tomorrow. Listen, you gave it to me yesterday, I'm going to give it back. So I'm giving it back to you, so I'm yaitzah giving it back to you. And now I'm still going to get it back. Or the isha for that matter. So we're saying the woman, she has no hanah from it. The Rambam says she has no hanah, she has to give it back. What do you mean? She could have hanah. She could go back to him tomorrow and say, all right, I have to give it back to you. I'm giving it back to you. I'm in us that you return it to me. So he's going to give it back to her. What?
Why can't he say no?
He says no.
He says no. If you don't give it back to me, it's not for us. So he's going to.
We say, Matanas Maz Hashem Matanas. So you give me something, I'm going to give it back to you. So if I come to you tomorrow and I give it back to you with a Matanas Maz Hashem, what are you going to run away from me? Run away from me. You don't have to take it. You're correct. What would be the din by Matanas Maz Hashem? If you give me a Matanas Maz Hashem, I give it back to me. And the next day you don't want to take it back. Is that called I was in the battle with tonight?
I don't want to take it back as a
matanah. So if I'm willing to give it to you back as a matanah, the tie was one that I should be willing to give it back. No, I have to be willing to give it back.
You have to give it back.
Period.
How can you give it back?
Because we just learned the long distance. Matanah is the matanah. So I'm giving it back.
I don't say the same
what?
Thing again. You have to give it back based on the first matanah.
Right. So you give me something, I'm not to give it back to you tomorrow. So tomorrow I have to give it to you. So if you're telling me you're such a lamdin, the matanah is the shmei matanah. So the next day I'll give it back to you, the matanah is the hazer, and it'll be shmei matanah.
Then we'll say the same thing again on Thursday.
Okay, we'll be even. All right, but he'll have to come to some agreement with me. I'll end up with something. We'll be equal. We'll be an equal
mom. First person, that one.
Who can keep it?
Let's say the husband keeps it. She gets it back.
What's going to happen?
So she gets it back.
You're right. One second. Now, Makne is this kashya. The Makne is on the bottom Tosfos. Tosfos on the bar. The Makne is. That what's the big deal if he gives her a matanos lahazir? The Rambam says she can't have a real hanah from it. What do you mean? She could go to him and give it to him back with a matanos lahazir, and then everything will be. And then she'll end up winning. She'll end up with something. I'm not going to ask this as a kasha. Mechayra, the kasha is a mistake. Mechayra, the reason that Avi is saying. Think about it. The man gives the woman a matanah, now she gives it back. Then she gives it back to him, al minos, then he return it to her. He takes it, then he doesn't return it to her. So what happens if he doesn't return it to her? So what she gave him is batal. What she gave him is the matanah, is batal, no? So what she gave him is batal, what's the consequence of that? So she never returned it. So she never returned it. Then she never got it. So she didn't fulfill her condition. So what's the Hamakna saying? The Hamakna is saying that if she's smart, she could go right back to him and give him a ton of lasmahas to him. So if he doesn't know better, she could do that. But if he has any seichel, so he'll just not return it to her afterwards. Be mefatul her matana to him. If that's batul mafreya, that means she never gave it back.
Why is it being mefatul her matana?
Because she only gave it to him on Lest Lahazar. That means if he doesn't give it back, what happens? Then she never gave it to him. She only gave it to him, but she didn't give it back.
She did give it to him. He's ruining his part of the bargain.
He's ruining.
The same way he did give it to her in the beginning, and if she didn't give it back, it's her problem.
No, if in the beginning, if she doesn't give it back, then it's Batla Mafreya, it's a Geneva Mitchila.
They both have the same problem.
They both have the same problem, which in this case will be fine because she'll end up with nothing. If we make everyone have a problem, then.
He's doing
what? Right. So she says that he says, I don't want to. It's my father, come take it back. So now she never returned it. I don't know, Machna doesn't say what she's saying. Yes. But if you're lamdin, you know that this, I'm giving it to you forever, just for 24 hours.
Not forever.
But that's what saying about Thomas Hassan
means. That it's really but that's not what he wants. It's clear that he wants
to have it. It's clear that's not what he meant. That's not what he meant. All right, take a look at that makna. See what that is. See if we understand that makna. Okay, tomorrow we're going to try to understand Matanos Lahazir. See if it can work out the problem that we discussed.